Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 26 for December the 10th, 2013. I'm your host, Jack, and we're going to get started. Please check out our website at tipsfromtheserverroom.com where you can comment on these shows. Also, you can leave us a voice message on our new voice number. Now, remember, folks, this is our new voice number. This is not the number that we used before. It is 724-701-0550. Once again, that number is 724-701-0550. Please call and leave us a voicemail. Leave us your suggestions for future shows, maybe some questions, or your comments on these shows after I do these. And I'd love to hear from you, and we can play those on the next show, the next podcast. Again, if you have any questions for future shows, you can also email me at jackstechcorner@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, and that's at Technoman. Also, you can sign up for the newsletter at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. So today's show is going to be very straightforward. I'm actually waiting here to go to work this morning, so I figured I'm going to record this because we have a chorus concert to go to later tonight when I normally record this show. So I figure I'll at least get the show done and get it ready to publish so we can get it out there to you. So it might be there a little early today. So you might be wondering, why did Jack post this thing during the day on Tuesday instead of Tuesday night? Well, that would be the case. So today I thought I would talk to you about using OUs, or organizational units, when setting up your Active Directory. And then we're going to talk a little bit today also about using group policies to install software. It's a great way to do things. All right, folks, so let's first discuss a little bit about organizational units and why it's called an organizational unit. It's called that for a reason. And so many companies I go out to work for them, or I go out to do something with the company, and it seems like I walk in on it, and the first thing I notice is there's no organization in their organizational units. They have stuff everywhere. This is supposed to be in your Active Directory. You should have this set up to be organized. There's reasons for that. It makes doing things like using your group policies and setting up group policies and installing software and targeting users so much easier if you use an organizational unit. So using an organizational unit is very simplistic. All you have to do is you click on one of your containers in your Active Directory. You would right-click on there and go to New, and then click on Organizational Unit, or OU. Once you do that, you would give that OU a name. Now, let me kind of lay out the scale or the scope how we kind of have our setup. The first thing we did is under our organizational unit for users. Under users, you'd right-click on it. Don't ever bulk your users together. That is absolutely horrible when people do that. What I would rather you do instead of doing that is very, very simply, on your organizational units, under users, right-click on that, and then create new organizational units. In other words, we want to have one. Let's say if we have a finance department, we have a educational resource department, maybe if you're in a college setting, you have the students organizational unit, and you might have one in there for maintenance. Maybe your maintenance department has a bunch of users that you're going to put in your Active Directory, and that is a very possible thing to happen. So what you want to do, once you get that all set up into that organizational unit, you want to then, under each one of those, add your users to those units. Now, when you do this, it's going to make it very easy for a couple things. One, if somebody leaves your company, and people leave and come all the time, if somebody leaves your company, it's very, very simple for you to actually be able to go in there and delete that person. If somebody new comes into the company, you say, well, this is a maintenance worker, and you want to give them an email address or something, it's very, very simplistic, once again, to add them to that maintenance OU for the maintenance users. Again, it's very well organized. If you have all your users in there and they're just laid in there, you know, you're going to be scrolling through thousands of users. If it's a big organization, such as ours, we have, you know, about 2,200 users in our Active Directory. Now, with that said, let's move on. You can also set up in there computers, and we do this. We put all of our computers into groups, into the computers and users section of the Active Directory. So in there, we break our computers down because it makes it really easy to find a computer. You can really get granulated in your overall Active Directory scheme of things. So when we go under computers, we also do that same thing. We put in there finance, educational resources, students, maintenance workers, whatever else. Even if you want to put your servers, maybe you want to have one OU for servers. And it's very, very easy to do that. And when you do that and set that up, go into your AD, find your computers under computers, and move those into the proper groups. Now, we found when we did that, we have better control over those computers, and we can do more things with those. Such as, if you want to install software on a bank of computers, not really for the user, because you know when you install software, and we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here, but let's say we're going to apply a policy, a group policy. So instead of applying that group policy to our users when the user logs in, maybe, just maybe, you want to apply that group policy to a group of computers. And we do that occasionally. Here's one instance that we did do that. We created what was known as a shutdown policy. So that way we can apply it. It goes out to the computers, and we know that those computers will shut down every night at 8 p.m. Our time. Now, when you do that, that is easier to talk to those computers because we have another bank of computers. Let's say your finance department or maybe your maintenance that runs 24 hours a day. You don't want those computers to shut down. Now, if you have all your computers in one organizational unit, what's going to happen is that policy is going to go out there and affect all those computers at one time. So you don't want that to happen. You want to be able to target your groups of computers and stay within that certain group. So that's what organizational units are for. It's a very granulated way to set up your Active Directory and to keep that together so you don't have to worry about too much about moving things around and losing things in there. So the next thing we want to talk a little bit about today here is using group policies to install software. Now, I had a call recently from a colleague and said, Jack, we are trying to install software. We're trying to push out Microsoft Office, and we want to push out to 200 computers, but we don't quite know how to push out this EXE. Well, there is the first situation you're going to run into, and we did it. When you're an early adopter and you learn and you take your time, you try to piece this stuff together, what you will find is you can't use an EXE and push it out. You have to, Microsoft's wisdom, you have to use an MSI, Microsoft Installer file. So you have to use that MSI, and that is the file that you push out. Now, here's a couple tricks. The first trick is, create a shared file folder that all your users will have read access to. They don't need to write to it. They must have read access to it. Underneath of that file folder, so we created one called software. And underneath of there, we put each software package in there. Now, if you're going to do Microsoft Office, make sure that you search Google a little bit and look for administrative install. It's going to save you a ton of work, a ton of calls, and let me explain that. The calls that we started receiving was Microsoft Office came up and installed fine. It worked perfectly. But what we started to get calls about were it was coming up, I don't know, a week later maybe, saying it wasn't registered, it wasn't activated, and those are issues. So then we had to go out to the individual computers, sit down at the computer, put the key code in, and activate the product. If you do an administrative install, now this is just talking about Microsoft Office. I'm sure there's other packages out there that allow you to do this. You will set it up. You would go through your, let's say, office or setup.exe. /A, and that will do an admin install. Now, if you do an administrative install, you're going to point it to a folder. So it's not going to install it on anything. It's just building a package to put in that folder that you shared with everybody. Then we can use the MSI in there, and we can actually install that software across our group policies, and we can install the software. Now, what's nice about when it creates that package is it will be activated already. It will be self-activated. It will also have your key code embedded within the application or in the install files itself, so nobody has to interact with that software. The software then will go out. It will get installed to the computer, and that computer would be good to go. Now, a lot of people get this little piece of information mixed up. When you're doing group policies and you're installing software, it is best, usually, it is best we found to install to the computer policy, not the user policy. So once again, you're going to install your software to the computer policy. The reason I say that is, you know, if you're doing it for every user and every user it logs in, it thinks that it has to reinstall that software. Well, it's already installed. You don't want to worry about that. So with that said, you should install to the computer. Now, there are times and there are instances where we do install to the user policy. And that could be, you know, that could be a lot of different things. It could either be stuff like maybe a certain application that we only want a certain group of users to have. And that would be such as like if you work in the finance department and you only want the finance people to have QuickBooks. Now, you can install it directly to their computers, don't get me wrong. But it may be just as easy to give it to the user, because then if the user sits at another computer in the finance department that doesn't have it on, that you didn't push the policy out to, Enhance it can push it out to that user, and that user logs on, they will have their QuickBooks and they will be good to go. So it's very, very easy way to install software. Now, you have to do some searching around on the internet, because we have found that Google Chrome, we found that Firefox early on, there's a lot of these companies out there that's already created the MSIs for you. If they don't, you have to recompile the .exe file. Now, to recompile the .exe file is a little harder than it sounds. You may know an easy one. If you do, please call that voicemail number and let me know. Once again, that's 724-701-0550, because I'd love to hear from you. But overall, it's very hard to create an MSI file from an .exe. We found a few programs that would do it, but it never seemed like the packages were correct. It never seems like we had everything in the folder we needed, and it just gets to be a mess. So instead of doing that, it's much easier just to go out, search on, you know, do a Google search and say, look, I'm looking for Google Chrome MSI. You will find it. You will also find stuff like Adobe Flash MSI. It is out there. We found Java MSIs, where we can push out Java programs to our individual computers. All of these different little programs, all these plugins, like Adobe Air, you will find the MSI, and you can push that out there to your users. So all these plugins you can do, it's very simplistic. Now, I know what you're saying. Well, Jack, this is all well and good, but I have a couple Macs in my network, and we do too. We have a lot of Macs in our network. Unfortunately, this will not work for a Mac. We connect our Mac to Active Directory and it works really, really well. The user logs in. We can map their home drives for them. We can do all that great stuff. But we cannot push software from group policies or control the Mac using our group policy editor on Windows Server. There's just no way to do it. We will be getting into more group policies, I think, later on down the road. And that's thanks to a particular person, I can't remember your name, I'm very, very sorry, that emailed me a while back and said, Jack, look, it's great that I do a lot of the techie stuff, but he wanted to pull back a little bit and talk about this kind of baseline stuff that you need to know on a day-to-day basis. And a lot of this stuff, as you get going and you're a systems administrator, network administrator, you do this so much that you may forget the basics, and you always have to go back to the basics. If you don't, you'll never be able to advance in the right direction, if that makes any sense at all. We are fortunate enough in our organization where we do get these college interns in, And if you are around a college, I would suggest that you call the colleges and say, look, do you have anybody coming through that either needs to do an externship or an internship? And the reason is not just because it's inexpensive help. I mean, a lot of people say, well, it's like free help. Well, that's not really the case. The case is, the reason you want to do that is because as you're bringing these new guys in and they're learning from you, you will be learning from them and you'll be going back to the basics. And that is so, so vitally important to be able to go back and relearn stuff. Now, not so much where it's keeping you from forward progress. And we can talk about forward progress till the day's ends, but I don't really want to go there in this particular show. I mean, we will talk about future. We'll talk about budgeting one day. We'll talk about, I have so many show ideas for this this podcast, you know, advancements in your networking and where we're going from here, which you need that futuristic view. But you also have to have that basic remembrance to keep your mind fresh. And I think that's so important because if something breaks, sometimes we go back to the basics to catch on to it again and to understand it. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this particular podcast today. I'm sorry if it was a little bit shorter than normal. It seems like we're almost to the point where we normally run them anyway. But anyhow, if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESX, ESXi Server, and you will learn from A to Z, please sign up for one of my online courses at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Right now, there's a great savings in there, folks, and this will only last until the holiday of Christmas here in the States, so December 25th. This sale will be over. Right now, you can get in there for $150. Very inexpensive. Very, very inexpensive. Try to find another Server 2008 class. I looked, and there's none out there. That's why I created these. I want you to be able to gain advancements in your job. I want you to be able to get that job that you want. So I wanted to build these classes so you can learn and get a certificate. It's very simplistic. You watch a video, you take a short little quiz, and don't let the quizzes scare you. I have so many people email me and say, Jack, I haven't taken a test since high school. You will be fine. You will be fine. Because I haven't taken tests either since high school, and I feel the same way you do. So I built this for us. I built this for the adult out there or for the younger guy looking to get started. So you can get in there and take these courses. These courses are self-paced. Again, you watch a video and you take a short quiz. Once you complete the course, I will mail you the certificate. You get it in the mail. I've had people complete this course in a month, and I have people that's been in this course now for a year and a half, and they're very, very self-paced. Take your time. There's no hurry. Once again, you can sign up for that at tipsfromtheserverroom.com or jackstechcorner.com. Just click on the online class link at the top of the page, and you will be able to get in there and start signing up for those courses today. Folks, if it's possible, have a great work week, and I will be back here next Tuesday with another show. Until then, take care, keep those servers humming, keep that network moving along, and the data flowing. I'll see you back here next week for another Tips from the Server Room. Goodbye for now. Take care. So long. You just listened to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.